Marty Lurie here on Memories of the Game. Great to have you with us. The stories of baseball, that's what connects generations of baseball fans. I don't think there's a better time in baseball than the postseason, talking with Jim Palmer. Postseason for you starts in 1966 with the Orioles. I know we've talked about your game with Koufax, but what about that whole series?
Well, the 1966 World Series was my first chance to play in the postseason. I was only 20, soon to turn 21, and I still remember going out to Los Angeles to play in our first World Series, and of course Frank Robinson had come over, hit 49 home runs, really changed, I think, the way we all viewed our chances of playing that 66 season. And of course he won a triple crown, hit 49 home runs, and just made everybody better on our team. And of course we had a very young starting staff. Dave McNally was young, Wally Bunker was young. He had had some shoulder problems. A couple of years earlier, he had been Rookie of the Year, 19-5. So, you know, we went into that World Series where we knew we had a good ball club, but the Dodgers had won in 63. They had, won in 65. They had beaten the Twins. And, of course, they had Sandy Koufax. And I guess the bonus for us was that Koufax, because of the Jewish holidays, ended up pitching the last day of the season. And Drysdale started the first game. And I'm going to pitch the second day against Koufax. And, of course, he's a dominant pitcher of that era. And everybody said, well, what were you thinking? What I was thinking, to be quite honestly, was that I had had some shoulder problems. I'd never pitched 200 innings. I'd bought a house. My wife was expecting at the time. My first daughter would be born in November, Jamie. And I would go home in pain, and I just got tendonitis. And I had a chance to rest because we had a somewhat significant lead. And I just didn't want to embarrass myself. I figured, you know, if it keep us in the game some way. And I don't, you know, of course, with Koufax, usually you didn't score a whole lot of runs. It would turn out to be his last year, but I think he was 25-5 with an ERA of under 2 runs a game. So I remember sitting on the bench, and Brooks and Frank Robinson hit home runs in the first inning, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, well, gee, we might have a chance to win this. And then Mo Drabowski came in relief of Dave McNally, who would pitch the last game of the series and win 1-0 after Bunker did it in game 3. But I'm sitting there and Mo came in, and Mo was a veteran guy that we had picked up on waivers for $25,000, and he had had a terrific year. And he came in and struck out 11 Dodgers in 6 2/3 innings. Now, he was a little bit more of an accomplished pitcher than I was. He certainly had more experience. I probably threw a little bit harder, but he had, you know, awfully good breaking ball. And that day he was throwing a lot of high fastballs, which is pretty much what I did then. I had a curveball and a changeup, but hadn't started throwing a slider yet. Mo had a good slider, but he made the Dodgers look pretty badly. And, as it turned out, I guess in that World Series, they'd only hit 125. I went out the next day, and, you know, Koufax pitched great, but Willie Davis dropped a couple of fly balls, picked up the second one, threw it in the stance. We got some unearned runs and went on to win 6-0. And, you know, all of a sudden I become the youngest guy in the history of baseball to pitch a shutout. And I guess the irony is it's my first shutout ever.
Well, what a story. You won World Series games in 3 separate decades. Amazing. 66, of course, and of course then you have the 69 series where you guys lose 4 or 5 to the Mets, but 70s and the 80s. Maybe you could take us through the 70s and 80s with another win in each decade so we could make a show out of that historical achievement.
Well, the 70 win was in, you know, obviously 1970, Brooks Robinson's most valuable player in the playoffs, and then again in the World Series he put on that great defensive show. But my remembrance is we had Dave McNally and Mike Cuellar in 1970 that won 20 games. I think Cuellar won 24, McNally 23. And we're going through the hitters in Cincinnati, and I'm going to pitch game one. And the first 7 guys are high fastball hitters. And I raised my hand and I said to Earl Weaver and Jim Russo, who was our chief scout, he had done a terrific job in 66. 1969, he hadn't done as good a job because, as you mentioned, we lost 4 out of 5. But the first 7 guys were all high fastball hitters, and I raised my hand. I said, well, why am I pitching the first game? You know, Cuellar's got the great screw ball, and McNally has a good slider and a curve ball, and you know, they both had great fastballs to go with their good breaking stuff. And they said, oh, not your high fastball. So as it turned out, I gave up some early runs in game one in 1970, but we know we came back. They had that very controversial play with Bernie Carbo trying to score Elrod Tenrick's, high chopper out in front of the plate, and, I yelled, here he comes, and Elrod went to tag him, except Ken Burthardt, the umpire, was in the way, and Elrod actually tagged the umpire instead of Carbo. He probably would have been out, but he wasn't, mainly because I don't know if he ever touched the plate, and I know Elrod, he tagged somebody, but it was the wrong guy. It was the umpires. You know, as it turned out, we ended up winning by 1 run, and then would go on to win, that World Series in 5 games. And then I had a chance to win a couple more games. In 71, I did win a game in 71, and 79, I pitched well, but we didn't. We had an early lead. If we won a game two, and in 1979, we probably might have won four in a row. And then I'm actually in 83. I hurt my back early in the year. I'd had a really good year. In 82, 15-5, I guess if I had won the last day of the season against the Brewers, I might have won another Cy Young Award. I hurt my back in spring training, and then I had to go to the minor leagues late in the year and pitch up in Hagerstown to try to let the Orioles know that I could still pitch. And they were, they were good enough to put me on the roster. But, Mike Boddicker and Flanagan and McGregor had much better years, and they were going to be the guys that pitched in the World Series. I just came in game two on my 37th birthday in relief of Mike Flanagan. A ball went through Ivan De Jesus's legs, and I ended up winning in three decades. And people always say it's a great distinction. And what I remember the most about 1983 was I'm sitting in the bullpen in Philadelphia, and I know we're going to get, of course, not as significant a World Series check as they have now, but it was something like $50,000 or $60,000, somewhere in between, I think $56,000. And I'm thinking, here I am about 390 feet from home plate, and people are paying more than I am to watch this game, and they're sitting up in the bleachers. And I said, I've had a chance. This is my sixth World Series. In the first five, there was a lot of pressure. Here I am almost a spectator. And as it turned out, I had a chance on my 37th birthday to come in. I was very fortunate that I wasn't throwing particularly well. Did get a couple of, two innings of scoreless baseball, and we came back and won. And, even if you're not as an important part I had been in other years, it's nice to be on a World Championship team, and that's pretty much the story of my last World Series performance. And as it turns out, that's my last win.
Yeah, an amazing statistic, an amazing accomplishment. It's a sign of longevity, really.
Well, it's longevity, and I think the fact that I guess my story is a little bit interesting because I was born in New York. I was adopted at birth, and my dad was in the dress business. My mom had come from Omaha. Her dad died, leaving six kids at 40, and she came to New York and had a little dress shop. Met my dad, adopted my sister, then adopted me 18 months later, and. I used to have a friend who lived till he was 94, a guy named Jack Geisler, and he was kind of like my surrogate dad, because my dad, my adopted dad, would die when I was 10 years old. And he used to always say, your dad loved sports, but he never would have let you be a baseball player, even though he loved the Yankees. And I know the great story. One of the great comics and comedian actors is Billy Crystal, and he did that movie City Slickers, where he's on horseback, and instead of going to a baseball fantasy camp, he actually goes on a cattle drive. And Jack Palance, of course, is the trail boss and the tough guy. And they're talking about their greatest day ever, and Billy talks about how his dad took him to Yankee Stadium. And when I was 9 years old, my dad took me to Yankee Stadium in 1954, and it was a Tuesday night, and it had rained. And what Billy had said was that it's really before color television, unless you really had a lot of money. And we didn't have a color TV. And when I walked through that runway, you never realize how green the grass is. And it had rained that night. And I think Allie Reynolds pitched against Mike Garcia, and Irv Noren had two home runs for the Yankees, and the Yankees won. And I was a big Yankee fan. I always wanted to play for the Yankees and never had that opportunity, even though I did beat them 30 times. So, 10 years later, I come in when I'm 19 and strike out Mantle, Maris, and Howard with the bases loaded in relief. And it's just funny how things that you dream about when you're a kid can actually come to fruition. And, going back to the original thought is, you play in six World Series. It would not have happened if I had not signed with the Orioles and had a chance to play with some of the greatest players ever. The first third baseman, Brooks Robbins, first shortstop, Aparicio. My roommate was Robin Roberts. The next year, Frank Robinson comes over. I get a chance to play with Cal Ripken Jr., who's going to go into the Hall of Fame next year. You got Eddie Murray, one of four guys with over 500 home runs and at least 3,000 hits. We had some pretty special players, and I like to think I was just I was an important part of it, because I was able to take what I learned from Robin Roberts and mentor a lot of our younger guys. But we had a lot of fun, and I think most major league players will concur it's a lot more fun to win than it is to lose.